Welcome to UK Perspectives. I'm guest host Julie Rinn, director of the Kentucky Women Writers Conference, taking place September 11 through 14. One writer we'll feature is my guest, Sarah Combs. Her first novel, Breakfast Served Anytime, was published this year by Candlewick Press. Welcome, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah, you've been active in the Lexington literary scene for quite a while. First as a student at the University of Kentucky, where you studied with Jane Gentry Vance, James Baker Hall, and Kim Edwards, then as an administrator and workshop leader at the Carnegie Center. But it wasn't until this year that you became a published novelist. Has it been a whirlwind?
Yes, indeed it has. I've learned in some ways the hard way that there's a huge difference between being a writer and being an author, and I'm still sort of getting used to the transition between the two.
There have always been certain publishers by whom it is very prestigious to be published, and yours, Candlewick Press, is certainly one of them. How did you end up at Candlewick?
Well, I fell in love with Candlewick a long time ago when I was working at the Lexington Public Library and the Clark County Public Library, and also in a library wholesaler here in Lexington. So I spent a lot of time around children's and young adult literature. And it was at that time that I became acquainted with Candlewick and the high quality of their books always, and the integrity of the whole outfit. So when I learned about the Young Adult Novel Discovery Contest and saw that one of the judges was an editor from Candlewick, I jumped at the chance to get my work in front of a Candlewick editor, just because I had so much respect for that press and had this far-fetched dream that maybe my book could live there.
Now, is that the contest where you submit just the first 250 words?
Yes, the Young Adult Novel Discovery Contest invited writers to submit the first 250 words, which amounts to a couple of paragraphs, and the title of ostensibly a much longer novel. And at the time that I decided to enter the contest, I had no novel at all, but I yanked these 250 words and a title out of my head and my heart, where the story had been living for a long time, and decided at the very last minute to enter the contest.
Well, it's a very strong opening, and in fact, I'd love you to share it with our listeners.
All right, Chapter 1, Into the Abyss. The butterflies started showing up the night before I left for geek camp. The first one came as a surprise, an otherworldly blue messenger, lifting and settling its wings on the windshield of the wheezy Chrysler LeBaron I had inherited from my grandmother just months before. Carol was riding shotgun, and when I whacked her knee and pointed, she just slid her sunglasses down her nose, peered at the butterfly like it might be contagious, and said, "They're everywhere, Glow, a plague of them." After that, just like when you learn a new word and suddenly it's all over the place, I started seeing the blue butterflies everywhere I looked. But then I can't remember a time when I haven't looked for signs. It wasn't unusual for me at age 12 to tiptoe outside to our moonlit mailbox and fully expect to find within it, at midnight on a random Tuesday, a love note composed in Egyptian hieroglyphics or a grocery list scrawled in the shaky hand of the ghost of Boo Radley. Give me a fortune cookie, a magic eight ball, a plague of blue butterflies, and I'll be sure to find in them some urgent message from the universe. Ask Carol. According to her, I'm a master of the art of arcane communication, but a complete idiot when it comes to the writing on the wall. What happened at geek camp? It was like that. I never saw it coming, not even for half a second.
Sarah, you attended both the Kentucky Governor School for the Arts and the following year the Governor Scholars Program, experiences that are depicted in your novel. Why did you choose so-called geek camp as your setting?
Well, the story started first, as I think all of my writing does, with a feeling. I had a feeling that I wanted to conjure. And the feeling for this story was the feeling that happens when friends become so close to one another in a short period of time. And GSA and GSP, Governor Scholars and Governor School for the Arts, provided just that kind of an environment where you are in a closely knit community with like-minded people. And there's a certain magic that happens that doesn't happen in other places. and in other scenarios. So I knew that I wanted to conjure that. And I also knew that in the years since I was a Governor Scholar and a student at the Governor School for the Arts, now at those programs, what comes along with them is scholarships, not only to the University of Kentucky, but also to other Kentucky universities and colleges. And I started to think about how that would add another level of not necessarily tension, but intrigue to the entire experience. Are you going because you know you're going to get a scholarship to a school, or do you go for entirely different reasons? If you had asked my friends in that program and me at that time, we would have probably told you that we couldn't wait to leave Kentucky. And I ended up not leaving, and I'm proud of that choice, and I'm glad that I stayed. But I wanted to play with the idea of how can you love a place and leave it, or what would draw you to stay?
When you're writing, do you have an ideal reader in mind?
I do. I sort of see this nebulous version of my teenage self because I'm writing for young adults. So I imagine a girl, maybe she's in Topeka, or maybe she's in, I don't know, Idaho, or maybe she's in Delaware. And she's some approximation of my teenage self. So I think of geek campers, past and present, current students at the Governor's Scholars Program or the Governor's School for the Arts. Anybody who's had that kind of experience for this particular book, I imagine that sort of thing. But it's also not lost on me that my ideal reader might miss the book altogether. I've spent some time in high schools recently, and for instance, I met one girl who I immediately pegged as very much like my teenage self, and I saw something in her that reminded me of me. And when it was time for all of these students to talk about what they were reading, a lot of the students named very popular young adult books, and I was pleased to hear it. But this girl in whom I saw myself was reading American Psycho. She was reading Bret Easton Ellis, and I thought to myself, well, my teenage self was walking around ostentatiously carrying a copy of The Unbearable Lightness of Being, and I wouldn't have wanted to read anything that was specifically written for teenagers. So it's not lost on me that my ideal reader might not have any interest in reading this book at all.
Well, I think your ideal Kentucky reader should give it a try because the Kentucky setting just adds so much. Really enjoyable. I've read it myself, and I'm long past the teenage years.
It is a love letter to Kentucky in many ways. So I think for anyone who has loved this state or might be falling in love with it, that's an ideal reader, too.
I would agree with that. The Women Writers Conference welcomes men to its audiences, but we feature only the work of women writers. How do you think women benefit from having a conference of their own?
Well, I think anytime women gather together to lift one another up, to mentor one another, encourage one another, that's really special and really, really important. Especially, I know in the past maybe there haven't been any writers of young adult fiction. I might be the first. And right now in young adult fiction, there's a very lively, sometimes heated conversation about where the attention by the media is given. Is it given to male authors more than it's given to women writers who long have been the audience for this type of literature and many of whom spearheaded it? I can't think of any of us who didn't love and learn from Judy Blume, for example. So that's a big conversation that's happening right now. And I'm so proud to be a woman writer writing this kind of fiction. And I want to remain an active participant in that conversation. And this sort of setting invites that.
Sarah, can you tell us about the fiction writing workshop that you'll be teaching at the conference?
Yes, I'll be leading a workshop called Stranger Than Fiction, Where Truth Meets Story. And I've always, as a writer, been really, really interested in that intersection between truth and fiction. And people always ask me, where do these stories come from? Is this drawn from your real life? So I'm going to structure my workshop as an answer to that question. Where and from whom do we borrow, and to what extent? And what about the magic, the alchemy that happens when we thread the fiction into the truth, and how does that balance happen? I'm fascinated by that intersection, and I'm really looking forward to working on that with other writers.
Our guest has been Sarah Combs. She'll teach a fiction workshop and read from her debut novel, Breakfast Served Anytime, on September 12 at the Carnegie Center, 251 West 2nd Street. For more information on the Kentucky Women Writers Conference, visit KentuckyWomenWriters.org or call 859-257-2874. Our complete UK Perspectives interviews are available at WUKY.org. For WUKY, I'm Julie Rinn.